Holding. This is Big Girl Pants Podcast, episode 92.
Hi! Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Big Girl Pants Podcast. We're so here. We're so happy. So yes. Happy that you're here.
So happy that you're here.
Yeah. I feel like my brain's not working today.
I heard that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Mo.
Thank you.
Yes. Mo Brussler.
Brossette. You were close.
Dang it.
You were almost 50% right.
Y'all, I listen. I just
you
can't
added
be
some letters.
I can't be responsible for lifing today. I just can't.
So I walked in the room about 5 minutes ago, and I basically got a short synopsis on how you guys know each other. But for everyone who's listening, I want to know how you guys know each other, and then Mo, I want to know what you do, and I'm sure everybody else wants to know that too.
So a lot of podcasts, when they have their guests on, they will explain what they do and right. make a grand introduction. Yeah. We let you do you just yeah. because we feel like you guys can explain it so much better than we can.
Yes.
So Mo, what do you do?
What yes. do I do? Well, I am a speaker and I'm a mindset coach. So I work with executives, CEOs, business people, and just normal humans that want to be the best versions of themselves possible.
We like that.
And help them work through and build a relationship with fear. And I use language techniques to do that, and breath as an anchor, and meditation and visualization. So
very cool.
Yeah,
wow.
So I do
That's
corporate
super
speaking.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
love,
like,
love,
right
love.
Up
How
my,
long have you been doing this?
Right up my alley.
I've been doing this for 5 years now.
Okay.
I've been doing it for a long time in this in a kind of a broader right. sense. My background is in holistic nutrition and exercise science. So I'm also an endurance athlete and coach. So I've coached and raced Ironman and other endurance sports. And
gotcha.
If you've ever done anything like that, you know that 98% of it is mental.
Mental.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, but like before an Ironman, what I would do with my clients is have them a month before start visualizing the day from the moment you wake up until the time you cross the finish line.
Right.
And then go through everything that could possibly go wrong and then fix it.
And you were military too, right?
No, I was not.
I thought you, no. Okay, you mentioned that earlier or something.
I work with critically wounded veterans and civilians.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Okay, yeah. Very cool.
What
That's
do you
what
mean
I do now.
Critically wounded?
So what? We have a foundation here that? Called Adaptive Training Foundation.
Okay.
And we work with veterans, combat and non-combat wounded, and civilians that have amputations, spinal cord injuries,
okay.
Parkinson's, and stroke.
Okay.
Yeah. So we take them through. We offer cost-free training for these individuals. And we do a 9-week training program. And I work with them on the mindset side. So I help them overcome the limiting beliefs of you'll never walk again. You can't do this. This is your new life,
right.
et cetera.
Yeah. Accept it, face it, now move on.
Right, yeah. right, right.
Which that sounds, or I mean,
like
I just say
through.
That like it's just so easy
yeah.
to do.
Well,
right?
Or like
well,
push through those barriers because
right.
yeah.
while a doctor might tell you that, that doesn't mean it's necessarily true.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But and it's critically important for those individuals as well because you know, I'll give you one example. I've got a lot. One of our athletes that came through our program, he's 51 years old at the time, former Army, riding his motorcycle. And just a Tuesday afternoon, a lady turns into him and immediately cuts off his left leg high, almost at the hip. Mm. So he's in the hospital and the doctors come in. They're like, Keith, here's the deal. You're never going to walk again. You're always going to need help going to the bathroom. You're always going to need help doing this. This is going to be your new life.
Yeah.
And Keith said, and then literally his daughter walked in and we had some flyers in that hospital because we work with them. And she handed him our flyer and he said, you know what? I'm going to try this route instead. So once he was able to, he's like, you know what? And he has a great mindset anyway. He said, I'm going to go in here when I'm able to open the door and
yeah.
then come to the and see what this is all about. So long story short, he comes into our program and we start working with him, getting his core strong, getting him stronger when that single leg. And 92 days after his amputation, he does a 26-inch box jump. And then he does a 28-inch box jump.
Hell yeah.
And then he does a Spartan race. Then he does
Love
a,
this.
So,
that is
yeah.
so cool.
But if you would listen to what the, quote, experts say, and
right.
I'm not in any way undermining the doctors. They're doing the best they know how to do with that population.
Yes.
But if you just say, hey, look, this is your new normal. You're never going to do this again. And then
right.
everybody around you agrees with that. that's how you're going to start seeing your life.
Well, the mental piece is so important because...
I was just going to say that. I was going to talk about Jake last week and our conversation around that. Say what you were going to say because I'm going
to
jump on
that. Well, the mental piece is so important because it's really easy to get tripped up on what... It's even like kids, right? Psychology with children.
Yeah.
If you tell them you will never amount to anything, you're a loser, you suck, then they're going to grow up believing that they're a loser, they suck, and they'll never amount to anything.
Absolutely.
And because that's the influence that they have, that's the direct influence that they have, what they perceive as love is their parents. Same thing as with doctors, we perceive them as being experts. And statistically speaking, they're probably speaking from experience saying you will probably
the majority
will never walk again from an injury like this. But I mean,
well, but that's what I was about to say. So last week, and this is the guy I told you I wanted to introduce you to, Jake Thompson,
from
Compete Every Day. So he was here last week. He's actually been on a couple of times. But we were talking about you can equip people with the, what you need to do and how you're going to move forward and give them all of the coaching. And, but if they're mind's not right, it doesn't matter.
100%.
So this guy, looking at your flyer and even considering it and thinking, yeah, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to do that. In fact, most are going to say, I can't do it. The doctor said I can't.
Okay, but and we're also experiencing this with the pandemic right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
with
the,
COVID,
yeah,
people are like, well,
thing.
I have to wear a mask. I have to do this.
I can't go outside.
Yeah. I can't do this because so-called experts are saying that that's the case.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about diet. Nobody's talking about supplements. Nobody's talking about exercise,
your
vitamin D.
System.
It's like, hello, why don't we take care of our
immune
systems
yeah.
and stop talking about masks and bullshit
and
like that.
Scaring
I mean,
people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody. Let's I wear my mask, okay? I wear it. I have conformed, but...
I bought into the hype.
I didn't buy in. I'm
my
just trying to be a nice person.
My mom is that person who will not wear a damn mask.
Yeah, I decided...
And I can't go to a store
that's the
with
thing.
Her,
like, you're not doing anything. All you're doing is you're exacerbating the issue.
Exactly.
And you're making a stressful situation even more
that's
stressful.
That's the thing. That's why I finally relented. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing. I don't like to wear one either because it's the same thing. But I know that the individuals that are around me, that's going to make them more stressed out.
Yeah.
So if I can be selfish and prideful
and not wear the mask.
Let my ego take me into every place. Go.
Exactly.
I'm not going to wear my mask. This is my right. Well, it's also your right to be a nice person.
Yeah. And that's why I finally shifted. When was it? Probably 1st of May. Mid May.
Was it mid May?
Was it June?
I don't know.
It took a while.
Yeah.
It took a while.
I was the same thing. I would go to Central Market here in Dallas, and I was like the only one without a mask.
Yeah.
And
well,
finally
before
was,
they required it.
Yeah, before they
you
required it.
You can't even walk in the damn store without one.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
I was
annoying.
Too. And for a long time, it was more about my quote-unquote civil liberties, and I was that a-hole that was just like, you can't tell me what to do.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, but it is making people feel better.
Yes.
Right.
And I am actually a nice person, and so I'm like, all right, reel it in, Shapiro. You can't be a jerk.
Well, and for that and for people listening, too, you also have to remember that the people that are telling you to do this, they're just doing their job.
Yeah.
You, like, imagine if that was you, and you had to tell every person you have to wear a mask.
Yes.
I don't want to have to be that person.
Right.
Because you know they're going to be those people.
So true.
And so when you see it from that lens, go, damn, man, this kid's making $12.50 an hour and everybody hates him because he's going to tell them to wear a mask.
That's literally what I told my mom. I was like, Mom, the people at Costco aren't going to yell at you to wear a mask when you tell them that you can't wear a mask because they don't get paid enough to fight that fight.
And they don't know.
But
that's
still,
not,
it's just like, it's a societal
a
thing.
Rule.
Wear the damn mask.
Yeah,
right. Well, I've got an aunt who works at Lowe's. And I was visiting them last weekend, and she said she was miserable. Like, she had just come home off a shift, and she was sitting there. She looked deflated.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my gosh, was it a bad day? And she's like, it has been a bad day for 3 months. But most recently, since they implemented the must, you know, wear a mask rule, she said people come up to her expecting her to be the mask police for people who are not wearing it. So you've got management expecting you to manage the people who don't wear them and people that are shopping who expect you to manage people who don't wear them. But then you've got the people who are not wearing them who are adamant Karens or whatever that I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to wear it. And she's like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't chase both.
Right.
And she's just like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know how we went down that tangent. But
I love it. But that's the best part about podcasting is tangents.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so it's like... That the mental piece goes along with everything. Like, it's not their job to police people wearing masks. Just like it's not, you know, the just like the doctors. It's not the doctor. Yes, they see how many patients a day. Like, if it's going to be your life, you're going to have to take control of your life no matter what it is.
Right. Right.
Like, you can't listen and trust other people all the time to control your life because only you are responsible for you.
Exactly.
And if you want to walk, then by God, make yourself walk. Yeah. If you have one leg.
For sure, right? Well, I can tell you right now, if that happened to me, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to find a way to walk.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way. Yeah. Is it prosthetics? Is it whatever it is? I'm going to do life regardless.
Be Lieutenant Dan. I got a space.
And it's also about, you know, it's about surrounding yourself with the people that, you know, I call it surrounding yourself with the right type of enablers.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with the people that are going to challenge you, that are going to lift you up, that,
yeah,
you know, when you do have those emotions and you do have those down moments, because it happens to everyone.
That's right.
You need the people around you to say, hey, listen, it's okay to be human. It's okay to have these feelings. And that's the thing. Like, that's what I teach people about fear. Like, it's not about being fearless. That term is bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because when we think I can't be fearless, so I can't do this. No, it's about feeling the fear, literally getting curious about it and going, hey, why, what about this makes me scared?
Lean into it.
You know what I mean? And then going, okay, well, it's this. So what can I do to make this better?
Yeah.
And it starts with the language. What can you do? Not what you can't do. I talked about Iron Man earlier. 100% of the time, if I was ever at any event, Christmas party or function, and someone found out that I was a triathlete and I did Ironmans, they would say, oh, I mean, I could never do that. I'm like, immediately. Why not?
Right.
You know,
it's the first thing out of
their mouth. Discount yourself. You discount your ability before you even think about it.
Yeah.
Right. I could do the bike and the run. I can't do the swim. Why?
Right.
Have you ever swam before? Well, no. Well, then of course.
How do you know?
Then how do you, how do you know? So but that's what we're taught. We're conditioned, you know, from age
to limit
three
ourselves.
To seven, right. We're being programmed. So if you're programmed with what you said, with what your parents are telling you, can't do this, you can't do that, you need to do this. Well, then your instinctual programming is to think, I can't do that.
Well, and even outside of that, we are programmed to think that we can't do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we're also programmed to think that failure is bad.
Right.
And this starts in, elementary school. Because, you know, think about when a kid is starting to walk and all that, they fall down. It's like, you can do it. Come on, get back up. But then that dies as soon as you go to school.
Right.
And bad grades and all of that start to condition us to think that, oh, failing is bad. And so then we start fearing failure, so we stop trying, and then we stop living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is how we condition ourselves as well.
Yeah.
100%. And it's so much easier to play in the safe zone than it is to do things that scare you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I tell people, especially on my team, if you're not failing, then you're not trying. You're not doing anything. You're not living. We're supposed to fail because that's how we learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not failing, then you're not trying.
And you're not learning.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do? You want to just go through life coasting, like middle of the road? Yeah,
for sure. No, definitely not.
Definitely
if it doesn't
not.
Scare you, then it's not fun enough.
So how did you, what were you doing before you started doing this full time?
With the Adaptive Athletes and what I'm doing now?
Yeah.
So I've been, I mean, my background, my degree is in kinesiology. I was a strength coach in college and I was a personal trainer coming out of school. So I've been doing this for 25 years.
Wow.
And I started studying holistic nutrition and integrative medicine in 2004 and went down that route.
Were you ever going to be like a chiropractor? Because typically that's kind of that lane.
No, I was actually, so all of my friends that I was training with were going to chiropractic school or going to MAT, muscle activation therapy or something along those lines. And I was like, that's cool and all, but that's not getting to the problem.
Yeah.
We need to get inside the body and figure out what's going on at the cellular level. So I started studying nutrition.
Right.
So I did that and I still do that. But I started recognizing the need for the mindset side of it when I was doing my endurance training and coaching and racing. And then when I was working with ATF, I came on with ATF really as more of a director of training mode. And what happened was it's like church camp, right? Or or anything when you're around people like, yay, hyped up and everything's good. But then you go home and all the stuff happens. And
that's right.
What happens with us and the way it happened was we had a class of veterans that we trained for 9 weeks. Then we take them on a trip at the end of it to help them discover their newfound abilities. And we came back from this trip and one of our veterans who had a lot of PTS from traumatic brain injury and other things. And he'd already tried to take his life 3 times. And he called our founder and he was like, hey, man, I'm out. He got in an argument with his wife on the phone. He's like, I'm done. And had his pistol in his hand. He heard him chamber around. He was like, whoa, hold on. So we were able to get him into a facility that night to help him out. And then from that, two of our other Marines that same week were like, hey, man, we're not right either. We need to talk. So we were like, oh shit.
Wow, man.
And I'd been studying, I'd been studying breathing, meditation, Deepak Chopra, all those guys,
Wim Hof. Yeah.
And so I was familiar with it. I knew the power of this. And it, we were like, we've got to do something. And that's right. How literally like, okay, cool. Then I created the mindset side of this and then just started working it and started diving into psychology, positive psychology, neuroscience, neuroplasticity. So, you know,
so what you like Joe, what's his name?
Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I've done his courses as well. So, and that's what I get to do. Like, so when these athletes come to us and we train them, I get them for 15 minutes at the first of every, before every workout and work with them on first breathing, using breath as the anchor, showing them the importance of a diaphragmatic breath. And then working them through that 9-week process of facing failure, facing fear, facing this, that, and the other thing, and using language to help them understand, again, what can you do, not what can't you do, right? So like one of our athletes came in and he was talking positive about it. He was making progress. He said, I'm doing great. I can't hold a pencil yet and I can't hold a fork yet. And I stopped him and said, Doug, I love it. I love where you're going with this. However, I want you to think about it this way. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do in order to make yourself hold a pencil? You can do this exercise. You can do that exercise. So I want you to start thinking about what you can do in order to do that thing.
Exactly.
Because that's how your body's going to respond. So I work with them on doing that inside the gym first, because that's where most of us feel safe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how can you, if you're afraid of falling, we have to get you comfortable with that fear of falling in order to do the right thing to fall correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So then when they come back in, we do another round of breathing and say, okay, cool. You just showed us that you can work through fear. You can work through failure. You can work through this thing with language. Now let's do the same thing outside of here. So when you get stuck in traffic, when you get claustrophobic in a grocery store, when you get in an argument with your spouse, you already know you can handle this because you just proved to me and everybody around you that you did it. So now take this information and do it outside of here,
mm-hmm.
because it's more about, we have them for 9 weeks. That's it. So, and we have them for a couple hours a day. That's right. It. So if I can't help them and we can't help them be better humans outside of the walls of our facility, we failed. Right.
Do you think people who don't have the ability to learn how to fail and be positive about it and move forward through trials and challenges in their life, do you think that's an innate kind of, I don't want to call it a characteristic or personality trait, or do you think these are learned behaviors that can move us past that?
It's both. I mean, you can have it, but it can also be taught.
I'm just curious about that. Like, I mean,
nature some versus people, nurture.
Yeah, some people, mm-hmm. like for all three of us sitting here, for example, Adolfo as well, I think we are that mentality of I can do anything.
For sure.
If I try hard enough, I can get it done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't
also
know that anybody taught me that. I just... Agreed. That's just who I am.
And it can be taught, because that's what I get to do. And that's what and outside of the adaptive world, that's what I do when I work with other humans, right?
With
the businessmen and women or just normal people, is helping them understand that it doesn't matter where you were, what you used to do. That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's where you are right now and how we can shift your thought and your language and your mindset from this point forward,
mm-hmm.
because that's the fallback. People will say, well, I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't in the military.
Yeah.
I wasn't this. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, right.
Who you were before you walked in this door is irrelevant to me.
Right.
Who you can be from this moment forward is what's important.
How often is that an issue? Like people's past, like...
Oh, all the time.
This creeps up.
Letting their past influence their future and what they can and can't do.
Define who they are.
Yeah,
oh because,
and that's the thing. And, you know, you guys probably experience this as well. It's like, well, I can't do this. I can't do it like I used to. Okay, well... So, that doesn't mean you can't do it great now
lot.
Still.
I'm actually. Like, yeah, I'm getting old. My feet hurt when I train. But no, I mean, so immediately just what I'm thinking of, and we've needed to have this episode for a while. I actually have two friends that both have severe PTSD from the military, from the service. And one of them, I won't name any names, but they've shared their stories with me and they both agreed to come on here. So that'd be cool. Maybe if you could come back and we could talk about that, like open forum. But both of them really struggle. And one of them, you know, he was married and his wife was like super, super, super verbally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And just like all the things that he went through, he was a combat vet, like all the things that he went through. And then on top of it, having the verbal abuse from your spouse, eventually he separated from her and he's no longer with her. But I mean, at what point as like a coach to one of your like students per se, like at what point do you say, man, like you really need to reevaluate like the relationships that you have in your life?
Do you have those conversations? Do you find yourself having those conversations?
I mean, it got so bad where she would say things to him like, I wish you would go kill yourself.
Oh my God.
That bad. And I mean, but I also, you know, knowing that I wasn't a part of the situation. I'm only getting one half of the story, but I can only imagine what that's like for someone who's been in a situation where they saw their best friend's head get blown off.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
Like, there's
yeah.
just, it's so, yeah. PTSD is just so real and mm-hmm. it's so invisible because you can't see it. It's yeah. just, it's kind of like faith. Like, you, yeah. you can't see it, but you know it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's like that. And then my other friend, he is struggled with PTSD, was never, he was married, but he never had kids or anything like that. But, you know, he goes in and out of like alcoholism, and it's kind of like waves of the struggles that he goes yeah. through. He just quit his job recently, and that wasn't probably a good idea. But
right.
like for those people, I wonder what is it that we can do for those types of people? Because it's all in their head.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of it too is I worked with a guy who's a neuropsychologist named Dr. Don Wood, and he works with severe trauma individuals. And one of the first things, I was actually on a panel with him, and we both said the same thing. Like, first thing we have to help people understand is there is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Whatever bullshit you went through, that is, yes, that's part of your story, but that does not define you. And there's what you did. If you, like, everything that you do, you did to the best of your ability, with the best of your knowledge, with the best intent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had to do certain things
yeah.
in order to A, survive, keep your people alive, keep the, you know, all yeah. these things. Because that's where a lot of the guilt comes in.
I know. Well, Jordan Peterson says PTSD comes from what you did, not what you saw.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, that hit me and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So it's a slippery slope, but it's you can definitely work with it, and it has to be addressed, but it has to be addressed with them understanding that, number one, nothing's wrong with you. And yes, if those are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, then there needs to be a shift.
Yeah. yeah.
You need to reevaluate.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I couldn't imagine dealing with that type of, like, those experiences and having that, like, trauma in your brain, and then, like, hearing that from the person who's supposed to love you and support you and all yeah. that. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then, like, the government just looks at you like, oh, that's not real.
Right.
PTSD is not real.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? If you're not missing a limb, you're fine.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't actually have anyone in my family or core or circle who has been in the military, sadly, which is kind of odd, but mm-hmm. I don't have anybody that I've spoken to about it personally.
Yeah.
So I don't know a lot about it.
Well, I mean, my dad was in the military, but those two are, they're my age. They struggle with those things, and they've been so open and honest about them. And it's just like, I'm just like a sponge. I'm just listening because yeah. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah,
but it's also stories. Like, it's very real, especially if I know two people. There's got to be millions of people that have this kind of struggle that yeah. aren't talking about it.
Absolutely.
Or they don't feel comfortable, or they don't have the safety net or someone there, like an advocate who will listen to them and not just completely dismiss whatever they're saying.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's so...
And men already don't... You're not, like, you know, encouraged to talk about emotions. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It makes you look weak.
Well, if you live in Dallas, in the area, and you are a veteran and you suffer from PTS and you have suicidal ideations, go to 22kill.com. They're one of our partners, and they will give you free counseling.
Okay.
Oh, that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you were telling me earlier that you have, like, you've rebranded or you
yes.
have. Okay. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So my company's rebrand name is called Hunt and Prosper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, it came from the concept of, because I had a couple of different things going on. Mm-hmm. I had my background. I still coach online endurance athletes, and I still do a little bit of nutrition coaching, and I have my corporate speaking executive coaching for mindset and language. And I needed a way to meld all those two into one.
Yeah.
And Hunt and Prosper, the concept behind Hunt and Prosper is, regardless of whether you want to be the best athlete, you want to be the best boss, CEO, team member, or human, you have to get up and you have to go get what you want. You got to yeah. go hunt for it.
Right.
I'm not talking about going hunting. That's what you want to do. Go. Cool. I love to hunt too. However, it's about, the concept is get up and go get it.
Yeah.
If you want it,
that's right.
Find a way to do it. And that's where the language comes in. You can't.
And when you say hunt, are you referring to, like, there's podcasts and books
there's
coaches,
there's nutrition, there's mobility, yeah. there's vitamins to keep your immune system strong. Go find it.
Yeah.
Right. No one's going to give you success. No one's going to give you health.
You have to wake up.
And you have to go get it, like hunting. Right. If this was, everybody talks about primal living, right. Let's go back ancestral. Well, you know what they did every day? They woke up and they went and got it.
Yeah.
That's what we get.
And if they didn't eat.
Right. So,
yeah.
And so when you hunt, you prosper. So if it's business, if you are a CEO and you need to build a phenomenal team,
yeah.
you need to be, number one, you have to hunt for yourself.
That's right.
So you have to start with this person in the mirror and figure out that and make yourself better total. So mind, body, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then you work on the outside as well, the people around you.
Man, you are speaking my language and April knows it. This is exactly.
I feel like you should write a book.
That is exactly. Well, him for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But this is exactly my philosophy and mm-hmm. has been for 20 years.
Yeah.
So if I didn't know how to do something, go buy a book, go listen, figure Word. It out. That's, go figure it out. Yeah.
That's how I know what I know. I've got so many books on Audible. I've got like, I constantly learn. People ask me like, what do you like to read? I like to read to learn. If I can't learn it, I'm not going to read it.
Nope.
So that's me. That's what I love.
I'm the same. I think I go through, well, it used to be 6 books a week.
Good Lord.
It's not that now that I'm in school that I'm good to get.
I know, right?
Well, I make fun. Like I always say, especially going through school right now, I'm like, I've never been this poor. I'm so poor. Just paying for tuition. But my team was here for a pool party on Thursday and they were looking around at all my books. They're like, maybe if you stop buying books, you'd have more money.
You wouldn't be so poor. Yeah. You're like, no, because that's all here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I Audible and I'll mm-hmm. buy oftentimes the Audible as well as the book so I can get through it faster.
Read it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like to highlight. And
I did that too. I would listen to it on like two times speed.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I would do it again.
That is insanity. So you listen to it on 2 times
speed. Yeah, I can't do that.
You can't even understand what they're really saying because they're working so fast. You can't understand.
You have no idea what they're saying. You don't
even know. I was trying to get through them. So what I do now is I dialed it back and I read a certain amount a day and then I highlight. Then I go back and I write down in a notebook what I highlighted.
Yeah, I don't actually have another notebook, but I do. I have sticky notes and I highlight and I write in all of my books. The ones that I like. There are books that I read mm-hmm. that I'm like, oh, that was good. Good for you. You wrote a book. But and then I'm like,
I've heard it before. Thank you. Okay.
Not really connecting, but but the ones that really resonate, I mm-hmm. will make sure.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I do. That's the branding of the company. So with that, I'm a corporate speaker. I do keynote speeches on fear, on language. I do executive coaching and one-on-one coaching with individuals. Again, like if you're a businessman or woman, if you just want to be the best version of yourself and you need to get past that language that you always say to yourself, that's what I do with people. I have a course, an 8-week course on my website that people can purchase as well that takes them through that offers daily journaling, guided prompts on what to do on a daily basis for 8 weeks to get you into that mindset and the habitual pattern of when you wake up, you do this and then you automatically go into positive mindset and breath.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I know.
Good stuff.
Did you listen to the most recent, or it was not that long ago, it was like maybe a month ago. There was a guy that came on Joe Rogan talking about the importance of breath and how if people were like more in tune with their breath, we would all be healthier.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, I'll send you the episode. It's really, really good. So I listened to that. I've listened to like and watched Wim Hof like multiple times. Mm-hmm. And he went on Joe Rogan too and talked about like the importance of breathing. And he's able to like control his immune system, control his body temperature, swim in subarctic temperatures.
Seriously?
Swam in what, -40 something degree water. It wasn't ice, but there was an ice brick, like a block on top of it.
Yeah.
And his retinas froze and he swam in it.
Wow.
So I've got a client that I work with that she's in her mid-50s and was suffering from a lot of different issues and was going through a really stressful period with her husband who had a very catastrophic event happen in major surgery. And she texted me, she was showing me her blood pressure was 173/136. And she was like, I think I need to go to the doctor. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't. You know what you're doing. And we've been working together for years, so I can tell her this. I'm like, you're stressed out. You know this. This is the breath I want you to do. You know how to do this. Do this right now. Do it again in an hour. And then send me your blood pressure. It went down. And then she was constantly being stressed out about it. So she did that and she would send it to me on a daily basis. So 7 days later, it went from 173/120 something to 118/72.
Wow.
You know what,
just
Mo?
Just some breath.
Just
what
some breath.
You do, what Jake Thompson does, what Georgia does, you guys are the wave of the future. You guys are going to replace the traditional healthcare system.
That's the goal.
Going to happen because I think if people could just step back and stop running to the doctor for a fix, mm-hmm. for medication, for whatever, and start thinking healthfully, I'm not sure, exercising, changing their mindset, and managing and monitoring the thoughts that go through their head, I really think you can avoid almost 90% of medications.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Yeah, but that's the thing that we get to help people understand is that, look, you've got the power to do this. Now, that's the thing with fear. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When I was talking to her, my client was like, hey, listen, I know you're afraid right now. This is what's causing the stress. Mm-hmm. I explained to her why. I explained to her how. And then I showed her what she could do to start to eradicate that.
Yeah.
So that's where you go, okay, I'm afraid. Why am I afraid? And what's the impact of this fear? Well, it's increased blood pressure. It's increased cholesterol.
Anxiety.
It's hypertension. And all, yeah. Right? It's all these things. So when you think about that and you understand it, you go, oh, that's what this is. Let me do this first before I put a Band-Aid on this and go get a pill and don't address the elephant in the room, which is my stress and my breath. Stress. So when you can breathe.
So important. Cortisol is such a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the things that occur when you're stressed out, like your blood pressure increases, your weight gain. There's so many things. And then with weight gain comes depression for a lot of people. I mean, there's so many. And anxiety. You control that one thing and you can change your life.
Yep.
So what about someone who's like super busy? How do you tell that person that you need to reduce your amount of stress? Because I recently had a conversation with like a coach and she was like, you need to bring your stress down. And I'm like, listen here, bro. Listen here. Okay. But like, I mean, really, there are people who are even now, even with COVID and the forced slowdown that we're experiencing.
Yeah, this is imperative.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're still busy. Even more stressed. Like, especially with parents that have small kids at home.
Yeah.
Like me. I'm a single mom. I have a 6-year-old at home. I have to either bring her to the office or figure out something to do with her. Then I got to work my full-time job. Then I got to go to the gym and work out so I can mentally stay sane. And then I got to go to bed immediately after I get home. And then I got to figure out when I'm going to make my food. And
In addition to all of that, because I don't think you've always been that busy. I've always been as busy as I am. I create busy if I'm not busy. Yeah. But I think a lot of people have lost their social outlets. So many people were coaches of their kids' teams or they were, you know, they had their gyms, which now I guess is back open, but that took a long time. And I think people lost some of the roles that they play that kind of helped them release some of that stress.
Yeah,
and so now they're just home all the time with their kids and their spouses who are, you know, like my husband and I've been married 21 years. We love each other very much. We do not want to spend
every 24/7
together. Yeah. We don't.
That was one of my friends as a coach. She said, you know, one of the things I've been working on when all this first started and we were all confined together was that I've been working with my executives, not on their business, but how to stay married.
Yeah,
he's like, literally, I spend 7 hours a day helping guys not get divorced.
Yeah,
I mean the lawyers, like, because I've recently been speaking to some lawyers. They're like, the influx in business is absolutely insane.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, for
she
sure.
She was like, I never saw this coming.
I can think of right now 6 couples that I know that are getting divorced in just the last 6 months.
Whoa. Six couples.
Damn. So hold on. Let me. So for you, the busy person.
Yes.
Couldn't tell.
Because I'm asking you. Really? You couldn't tell? As I show up 3 minutes before the podcast.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that's what I'm trying to cater. And it's exactly what you said too. Cater to the people who are listening. Because like, how can we apply some of this advice to them?
Yeah. So what you do is, this is what I tell everyone. Set your alarm 5 minutes earlier. You don't even have to get out of bed. When you wake up, turn your alarm off. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Breathe. Just breathe. Breathe in your nose. Breathe out of your mouth. Right? 5 minutes. And just focus on your breath. And when you start thinking about the day, think about it, and then bring your mind back to the breath. That's it. Just feel how it feels to inhale. Pay attention to the air and the difference. Then pay attention to what it feels like when you exhale. See how far you can follow the air down in your body. And then where it starts for when you exhale. And notice if you can feel it coming out of up your throat into the back of your nose. Right? Just and think about that. And then again, when you go, oh, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, shit. I'm not. Okay, back to the breath.
Right, I'm not breathing.
So you do that. And then when you drive, great, breathe. Sit up straight. Put your hands at 10 and 2, whatever feels comfortable. Shoulders back. Breathe. You drive to wherever.
Yeah. Right.
You're breathing.
Turn your radio off.
Right.
Every single morning, I drive to work in silence.
Isn't it nice?
Mm-hmm.
God, it's
It's just my moment of zen.
Yeah, and I've got clients where I have them set alarms, or I'll literally have their assistant. I was like, get your assistant to message you every 2 hours.
Yeah,
take 5 breaths.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't breathe 5 times,
You're way too busy.
Right.
Wow.
Nobody's that busy.
That's silly.
Nobody's that busy.
Right.
And if you are, get up.
She's looking at me like.
Yeah. Well, and then what happens is once you start to do that, though, you develop a pattern and it's like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
What happens is then you start to recognize over time that the moment you feel stressed or anxious or whatever, you go, oh, shit, hold on.
And the other thing that does for you, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, is just brings some awareness to being present in that moment right now. And so then it becomes habitual. If you're doing it enough day in and day out, it's not going to be just a morning thing that you do the first 5 minutes. It's going to be something you tap into stressful moments throughout the day.
That's the goal.
So then you're fully present. You're fully there. If you're paying attention to your breath, you're present.
Yeah.
There's nothing else going on, which is such a beautiful practice.
And it becomes like you're like the drink at the end of the day or when people used to smoke, that would be like their cigarette.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Like that reminder to chill out.
And that's what I do. That's part of that 8-week program that I talked about you start out with, okay, what is this about me that I need to work on? And then when you go to your job, what about this thing in your job do you get to work on? And it reminds you to think about it throughout the course of the day. So you're actively thinking about ways to improve this situation. So it's not like, like going to the gym. Congratulations, you worked out really hard for 45 minutes. But then what are you doing for the rest of the 23 hours?
I'm going to go home and eat a hamburger and some french fries.
And brownies. Need a whole tray of brownies.
Just kidding.
A kiss.
Got to replenish those glycogen stores.
I wish.
Do you like Tolle? I would assume you do. Eckhart Tolle?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Shapiro loves him.
I'm addicted to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my best friend.
She's the new fangirl. That's her new fanboy as of right now.
He's my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, love him. He's great.
So what other tips for people who are busy out there? I think the breathing is an amazing one. Mm-hmm. Waking up 5 minutes early, amazing.
Yeah.
What else?
So that's the first one. The other one is you don't have to have this excessive amount of time. And understand that when you start this process of breath, of meditation, of visualization, the thing that keeps people from doing it is they think they're doing it wrong. Right. Oh. And I'm throwing up the air quotes. So
they don't want to feel stupid.
Right. Like, I don't know what to think about, or I can't think about nothing. Well, no shit. No one can.
Yeah.
When you learn meditation, as I've learned, I'm a meditation teacher as well, is it's not about not thinking about space. It's about lengthening the space in between thoughts.
Yeah.
So if you can just focus on the inhale and the exhale for two breaths, congratulations, you did it. And then when you have those thoughts, don't get down on yourself.
Yeah,
do not
exactly.
speak negatively about yourself.
Yeah, because I think that's what people think. You know, they see the picture of, the monk who's like sitting Indian right. style and
but what they don't,
or whatever, the alms, right? We're all doing
that.
I can't be that guy.
But like, what they don't say, and you don't have to be that guy.
Right.
Like, there's moving meditations.
But
one of the greatest meditations.
I think I have to be that guy.
No.
That's why I don't meditate.
One of the greatest ones is called total embodiment meditation. And this is actually created by and for samurai in the Bushido. So, because you have to be 100% present, 100% aware of everything around you in the moment, or you're going to die as a samurai. So it's not about sitting in lotus position. You know, that's imagine this. This is why I joke, because I give tours for our foundation as well.
Right.
I'm like, imagine if you are a bunch of wounded, salty veterans sitting in a room like, all right, guys, we're going to sit here and meditate.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
They're like, I have one arm and one leg. Thing, yeah. How am I supposed to
right?
meditate?
But if I say, hey, so let me ask you a question. All of you, I know all of you like to fire a weapon, right? Like, yeah. Okay, cool. I know you like to lift weights. I've seen you, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you know you're meditating when you do that?
Yeah.
Do you know that
you're like in the zone?
Eating
thing.
Food is meditation.
You're in the zone.
Like, sex is meditation. All these things are meditation.
Wow, because you're in the moment and you're fully devoted to that moment.
Yeah.
So here's a little story. I decided years ago that I was going to start meditating, and I bought a book on Kundalini yoga, mm-hmm. which is kind of like a meditation kind of focus.
Kundalini, isn't that?
Isn't it Kundalini? I think that's how it's
Yeah, but
pronounced.
Isn't that the one that where you can like see stuff when you're doing it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Yeah, yeah that never happened to me. So that's kind of the story though. So when I first wanted to do it, I read, like you're supposed to wear white. They wear white when they perform their Kundalini stretches and their meditation. So
stretches.
I bought white.
Right.
Yoga
pants. All the
things. I did all the things. Yeah. There was like a mantra that you're supposed to
chant.
Yeah. And so I found it on YouTube so I could pronounce it exactly the right way. Like I went through all of these channels and things so that I could do it perfectly well. And then when I didn't feel like I was doing it perfectly well, I bolted.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what stops people every time. So the tip is.
So I don't do Kundalini. But I do meditate.
Allow yourself to be a human. Give yourself some grace. And one of the things I did an online talk a couple weeks ago for this company called CEO Crossing, and there I said, and I heard this quote not too long ago myself. It was, how long would you be friends with someone that treated you the way you treat yourself?
Oh, that's so good. So good.
Not very well. Before, not very long.
Or right. Or how would you like? How long would you employ someone that spoke to you the way that you speak to yourself? Because think about it. How many times, like when you quote screw up meditation? You're like, you dumbass.
Right. Oh, I'm so idiot. Stupid. What's
right. wrong with you? So you. I don't want to be friends with that person. I don't right. want that person working for me. So why are you going to treat yourself
exactly.
that way? So once you learn to recognize that and go, oh, man,
cool. And the mind is powerful, man. You say that stuff to yourself, you really exactly. start believing so that you're stupid.
And that's how you project that's towards right. other people. Yes. So it's yes. about allowing, giving yourself grace to learn the process.
For sure. Well, and I eventually did, right? But I was like, okay, you don't need the white clothes. No. And you don't right. need the perfect tan. You right. don't need all of these things. You're going to be just fine.
Just yeah.
But this was
it.
Back when I first was starting it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if I don't have it right, then we're not doing it at all.
Yeah. Here's a great
100%
one.
Or nothing.
There's a That's great me. One that I do with people as well, and it's amazing. I want you all to try this. I want you two to try today okay. and let me know okay. how it goes. Oh, everybody yeah. listening, try it as well. So okay. the next meal you eat, this is okay. a gratitude practice.
All right.
This is meditation.
Okay.
Whatever you put in your mouth, let's just say it's a piece of chicken, right?
Okay.
I want you to, number one, I want you to show gratitude for the person that fed the chickens.
Oh, wow.
I want you to show gratitude Ooh. For the person that drove the chicken to the store. I want you to show gratitude for the person that put the tires on the car that drove the chicken to the store. I want you to show gratitude for the person that put it on the shelf and the person that checked you out that you could buy that chicken. So what you do, and so when you're doing that, you're in the moment, you're thinking about gratitude, and you're giving thanks. And this is what I share with people as well. When you're doing something like that, you're literally thanking a human being. I guarantee you no one has ever said thank you to in their life for what
wow.
they do.
Dang.
Think about that. And here's the other cool thing. That chicken is going to taste better than it has ever tasted in
Absolutely.
Your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're so thankful for it.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of like that meme where everyone's sitting around the table and they're like, thank you, Jesus, for this food. And the immigrant worker says, de nada. Like, no big
right.
deal. I got
oh, my
you.
God. That's awesome. But I do it with chocolate, too.
Not
I love
Jesus.
Chocolate.
Jesus.
Do you? Like,
chocolate is amazing because you can thank the person that planted the seed.
Yeah.
Thank the person that trimmed the trees.
Or
thank
the person.
This practice
anything.
Is going to make me a vegetarian because if I have to think about
Absolutely
the little
not.
Chicken.
Absolutely. No, I ate like 22 ounces of beef on my way over here. I would thank
so
the farmer
but you thank
and the
but
cow.
Show gratitude for the cow. Thank yeah. you, cow.
Thank you, cow,
so,
for eating all this grass.
This is like
so
that movie. What is
you.
That movie with the aliens? They go to another planet. It was a big Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen Avatar?
Thousand
yeah.
times.
Yeah. So it's like they, you know, yeah. it, the people of the forest, uh-huh. like, thank the animals
yeah.
and anything.
And if you look
they...
at, like, if you watch Joe Rogan, you watch these hunters, that yeah. like, when I hunt, when I do things, I'm appreciative
oh,
to.
Oh, on Alone, they did that.
Right.
Yes. Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of
but
them.
But it's so funny, too, that the misconceptions behind hunters, because, and I think that Joe Rogan, I am such a fan. I'm, like, the number one fan.
I know, you are his
like,
fan.
Like, I would be one of those people who got his face tattooed on me, for sure, because he's definitely changed my life. But. It really boggles my mind how people misconceive hunting. Like, these hunters go in and they are grateful for the grounds. They pay
Absolutely.
The money so that they can pay, so they can hunt on the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of the animal. They use every piece
Everything.
Of the animal. These
yeah.
are not poachers. These
no.
are not people going in stealing
Sport
rhino
shooting.
Horns.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
they're really utilizing every single part of that animal.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And they're grateful. And they're feeding not only their families, but
mm-hmm.
they're feeding their friends, their community. Like, anytime, you'll hear it too on his podcast. Anytime somebody comes on, he's like, do you want some elk sausage? Do you want some meat or whatever? I can give you an elk steak. I can
yeah.
give you whatever. He gets 900 pounds of meat from one animal
wow.
right.
that feeds his family for 1 year. He shoots one animal, he feeds his family for a year versus
yeah.
going to the grocery store and buying beef that, you know, was conventionally raised or whatever, which
exactly.
I still eat, so
right.
I'm not even trying to say that's
right.
bad. But, you know, like...
That makes sense.
And,
yeah.
and
makes
for
sense.
People who are, like, animal rights advocates, like, the conservations and the grounds where they have to pay, like, these hunters, which I don't necessarily agree with trophy hunting, but whatever, they're paying $50,000 to go shoot something with a specialty tag, right? Like a lion or a zebra Morph. Or whatever. But they're paying for the conservation of that land. So they're in turn supporting those animals and the environment in which they live, even
right.
though it's less than favorable.
Yeah.
Like the girl who hunted the lion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I got you.
She paid so much money to go shoot a lion, and that money goes to the grounds, the people that work there, the animals that live there, all of that. If not, then it turns into a poacher type of situation.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't have to think about that because
yeah.
I don't really understand
yeah.
how that all works. I don't know if I still agree with
that part, but I
you can
don't.
Also
I mean, whether you agree or disagree, it's,
yeah.
It's
yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, right. That's what's happening.
So be grateful for that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. That's great. As far as meditation, too, you know what a book that I read that was really instrumental in helping me with my mindset was 10% Happier. Have you ever read
oh,
that?
Oh, I have not yet. Yeah, I know I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, it's that guy that was a newscaster.
Danny Harris?
I think maybe he had a meltdown
yes.
on air.
He was on Joe Rogan, too, yeah.
Okay, and anyway, this is his way book. Back to sanity, so to speak. Right. And it was through meditation. Mm-hmm. But he really breaks it down so simply and in such a way that just the average person can grasp
yeah,
it.
That's what it is.
Which meditation can seem a little intimidating
Dan
for people.
Harris. It was
okay.
Dan Harris.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I teach people as well. It's like you don't have to be sitting in a lotus mm-hmm. position. It meditation can the definition of mindfulness is paying attention to something on purpose in the present moment.
Yeah. Being in the moment.
While breathing.
Yeah.
Without judgment.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ooh, without judgment against yourself
that's
and
a tough
others.
One.
I think
that's
it started.
A tough one. That's a tough one.
For me, it started with The Untethered Soul. Have you ever read mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
That author, not just that book, because he's written three books that I love. He's the one who kind of convinced me mm-hmm. that it was something that it's a practice that everyone should be doing daily.
Right, right.
Yeah. For gratitude, absolutely. For presence, for awareness.
And look, if prayer is your thing, cool. That's meditation.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, you know what I was thinking
huge.
That? When you said have gratitude or show gratitude for the food and the process and everything that everybody went through mm-hmm. to get there for before you,
yeah.
that's prayer. That's like, thank you.
Exactly.
That's the same thing.
You're giving genuine thanks to a human for doing something, right?
Exactly.
For you. So you could eat your meatballs.
That's what it is. Your meatballs for breakfast. Showing gratitude for those for sure.
Yes, love those. They're great.
Where do people find you?
Yes, so my website is hunt-prosper.com.
Okay.
And I have a podcast as well. One, I have my old podcast, Link Endurance, but it's transitioning into Hunt and Prosper. So if you'd like to join up for that, sign up for my email list. I'm not going to send you a bunch of stuff, promise, because I don't like to send a bunch of stuff. So there and on Instagram, it is hunt_prosper.
That we want to find for sure.
Yes.
Always Insta.
And then on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Morris Brosset. Brosset. There's no L's in there.
Listen.
Yes. But it's, so those are my platforms. And I love my Instagram. You will see me doing a whole bunch of different things because I like to make sure I do it myself if I'm going to teach it. So I'm also going to be doing a free webinar on the 13th at 6 p.m. So Thursday, August 13th at 6 p.m. So it's going to be around building a relationship with fear and a lot of what we just talked about. The language,
really like
the
breath. Watch this. How do I sign up for that? The newsletter?
So go to my website, hunt-prosper.com, and sign up for
there's probably a link in his Instagram.
The newsletter. Not yet creating
grounded.
That today.
Grounded.
Yes.
Come on, Mia. Get on it.
And so I'm going to do that at 6 p.m. Central Time on Thursday, August 13th.
Okay. I'm going to sign up for that.
Absolutely. My online course, that 8-week course that I talked about, is on the website as well. Scroll down the bottom of the page. And if anybody needs assistance, if you need individual coaching, that's what I do. That's what I get to do with people. So
love
that.
What about
team coaching for offices and stuff?
I do. Yeah, I do. I go into offices and teach people how to communicate better as a team, how to work through fear, work through language, work through communication, work through better leadership skills.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I like that.
Do you do a lot of traveling right now?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
how's COVID
affected
your
business?
Well,
COVID, but pre-COVID, were you traveling much?
Not a lot.
Okay.
But it was more around the area. You know, COVID kind of knocked out several of the big ones that I had in the area. I was like, oh, super.
Oh, great. Yeah, awesome.
Really wanted that to happen. Needed this to happen.
Pandemic.
Right? So, but you know, it's part of the process. What do you do with that?
That's
it's a great lesson for me to go, okay.
Practice what you preach, my friend.
Bingo.
Wouldn't that be, that would just tie into, really leaning into fear.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely fear driven.
And
if you
go to my Instagram, read what I put under there. Because everything I talk about in the pictures, you understand is like, okay, why are you doing this? Read it. You'll understand.
I love it.
Me too.
Your mission, your vision, all of it, your philosophy, it's literally completely aligned with the way that I feel. Yeah.
Thank you.
And
awesome.
Think. Yeah. I love it. I love that there's people out there spreading the word and being a great example and helping other people through all these challenges. And
I know.
This is the way to do it.
You're
not
the,
medication.
You're the light. You're being the light.
We got a big job ahead.
It's going to take a long
time. The whole
world's
about to change.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's going to be the push that we need right there is when the healthcare system shifts to a different, it's already model. Shitty, mm-hmm. but when it yeah. shifts to be even worse,
yeah.
people aren't going to have a choice. They're right. going to have to find another way,
yeah.
right, mm-hmm. to cope
well,
and to
Well, and
get
I
through.
Think that more, I think that the beauty of social media right now, too, is that, like, more and more people, kind of like with everything that's going on, too, not just COVID, but the other things that are going on, which I'm not going to list because this conversation will continue for 30 more minutes. But, like, with everything that's going on and what the media isn't talking about or isn't focusing on, I think that more and more people are. So they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Sure, wear the mask, but what else can we do?
I right. think like, so, but I just don't think that those numbers are as great as they need to be. I think there's a lot more people in panic mode. I think there's a lot more people
sure.
That are listening to the bad
but
media.
But I think that the growing the number is growing of those people who are like, okay, I'm done with the fear mongering. This
so.
Doesn't seem to be as bad as it is. Are the numbers true? Like all of those things combined. So, okay. Why am I not getting it if I literally just walk down the street? Okay.
And why do I not know anyone?
Or even if I got it, why didn't I die? Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, and then so many other things like the vitamin D, the vitamin C. There's been experts on Joe Rogan talking about if you...
Exactly.
98% yeah. of people who died from COVID had like minimal levels of vitamin D.
Yeah.
And they're telling you not to go out.
And stay inside.
Yeah, stay inside. It's like, no, go
it's so
outside.
Stupid. Yes. So stupid.
Get some vitamin D. Take a supplement if you're really, truly scared of going outside.
Because vitamin D is not only a vitamin, but it's a hormone. And yeah. it regulates so many things in our body. And that's
so
why people who
things.
Are deficient in it mm-hmm. are dying from COVID.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah. So... I right. think that those people are rising. Even if they're not the majority yet, I think one day they will be. And I think that the media is being exposed for not giving us actual news. And I think more and more people are turning to independent channels for their news as opposed to listening
I
to
do
what
agree
is
with that.
Major
yeah,
news
absolutely.
Media.
We're finally
I don't
up.
Listen to it at all.
Oh,
I,
no.
Me neither.
2 years ago, maybe more than that. Well, initially, I know we got to sign off soon. So sorry. But initially, I read a book called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. And he talks about in there, like, you know, obviously what you feed your mind is mm-hmm. kind of how you're going to think, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I stopped listening to the news completely.
Yeah.
And then maybe a couple of years ago, I kind of trickled a little back in. And then,
well, then when this
for,
hit, you
for
had
a brief
to.
Hot
you
minute,
have to watch the news.
I didn't. I have an app on my phone that will
nope.
give me the news
I've
that I need.
I have not watched one bit of news since
no,
all this stuff happened.
I can't
I definitely
stand
did at
it.
First. I watched it at first because we wanted to find out, like, what was going on across the world
yeah.
and whatever. But
I
now,
had an app, and I was going to, like, the WHO. And like CDC and
yeah.
all of those websites.
I feel like even that stuff's
no,
not accurate.
No,
well, sure, yeah. but it's better than the media.
But is it though?
I don't
are
know.
Are they the same?
I don't know.
They're the same.
Why?
I know. Me, tinfoil hat, it's on. I don't believe in shit. Like, I don't believe anything that they say.
I'm kind of there too. Mo, it has been a real pleasure.
Yes,
thank you
for
real
coming.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to find you again, announce
go
your,
ahead and say it again
yeah.
just in
yeah.
case.
Website is hunt-prosper.com. Instagram is hunt_prosper. There
and
you go.
What's, but what's, say your name, Mo
Brosett.
Okay, spell it.
Brosette. There you go.
Yeah, you had an echo. But yeah,
just
thank
wanted
you.
To prove that I was paying attention.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for,
absolutely.
And if anybody wants to find you, obviously, if they ask us, we'll point them in your direction.
Perfect. Thank
yeah.
you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody. Oh. Us.
www.biggirlpantspod.com. If you have any questions, feel free to send us an email, biggirlpantspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @biggirlpantspod.
And feel free
Facebook.
To subscribe to
yeah.
our podcast.
Like and subscribe. Leave
we'll
us
take
a
five
review.
Stars.
Only five stars. Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye.